What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show during my offseason from the NBA, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. From the makers of Omega XL, a brand trusted by millions, Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, as you go through season after season, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios.
You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Big 12 Media Day is happening right now, and we've got some college football to talk about along with the updated lists that are always being cranked out, top 25s, under 25 in the NFL. You've got the cornerbacks being voted by the execs, coaches, scouts. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk, the Super Bowl champion scout himself, Ryan Broaddus. We had Eric Chiafalo, Gavin Dawson on vacation. As he would say, send that man some love on socials. Lucius Alexander back in master control. Austin Nix coordinating your video. We love you. Thank you for rocking with us on this Tolo Tuesday as we're live from the Comerica backyard here at Globe Life Field. Tomorrow it is Dollar Hot Dog Night. Who doesn't love Dollar Hot Dog Night as the Rangers take on the Angels? They begin the series tonight. DeGrom on the bump. Wyatt Langford sliding catch bobblehead is Thursday. First 10,000 fans get that. And on Friday, Hawaiian Shirt Night presented by Baker Brothers. Oh, sign me up for a good Hawaiian shirt. That sounds incredible.
I think you and Corey Majors would dominate Hawaiian Shirt Night here at Globe Life.
Should I just only rock the Hawaiian shirts when we go out to Oxnard?
Oh, that might just not be a bad play.
I'd probably have to buy several.
Kind of like Andy Reid.
Yeah, channel your inner Andy.
Like, I think it's a good look for the big dude. Or are we just trying to hide our large
bodies? It's just kind of like you're quitting.
I feel like I have.
If you're wearing the Hawaiian shirt, you're just kind of quitting.
I think I've quit.
Really? Like, I think you're vibing hard. Like, you're channeling positive vibes.
Yeah.
Is what you're doing.
Just happiness.
Yeah, exactly. Goodwill. Like, you can't be upset in a Hawaiian shirt. Like, it's all smiles. And
Brian is looking at you like, dude, what are you talking about?
I'm just
about,
trying right? to think about, like, the Hawaiian shirt, yeah, but isn't it kind of a give up?
You could say that.
It's cozy.
You could say that, but, I mean, it is still a button-up. Like, what is a T-shirt? Isn't a T-shirt a give-up? Like, yeah. What isn't
yeah.
a give-up?
It's got a collar. I feel like if you're rocking a collar, you're not giving up.
It's just like every time, like, you see somebody in a Hawaiian shirt that looks just massive.
It's like, this guy's having a good time.
Well, it's tough to find stuff that fits us.
And he knows his body.
You know?
This is a guy with self-awareness.
I'm the same way, but big and tall, right?
I guess.
You go to the big and tall place.
I still like to think of myself as small.
I always feel like that if you go to a store... Like, you go to a regular men's clothing store, and you walk in, and trust me, I'd love to just buy something off the rack.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when they say men's clothing store, and then they go, oh, well, here's the big sizes. It's got, like, 10 Hawaiian shirts over there. They're, like, saying they're, like, tagging you as, hey, big fat
shirt
guy.
Shirt for fat people.
Put on the Hawaiian shirt over here.
Yeah. I'm kind of just leaning into it. And
it's like they don't have any shirts that, like, oh, wait, that's a nice men's dress shirt there.
Yeah.
That's a, oh,
good
luck. Look at that 56 long jacket there.
So we all close our eyes right now, and we imagine a human being wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and we all think of a fat person wearing
Andy
it.
Andy Reid. Instantly.
100% of the
100%.
Time.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I thought of the small guy in me wearing that.
There you go.
But I know that I'm a big guy.
post Soda Wolchuk.
Yeah, I thought about during Soda Wolchuk, but the Hawaiian shirt is a give up from the 214. They agree with you. Wearing sunglasses indoors doesn't make sense to me, which I guess
Eric, you need to tell me the situation.
I've gotten used to it and I kind of like it. I think now it'd be weird to see you without the sunglasses on.
Yeah, I'm committed to it now, 100%. I'm all of a sudden, I used to get migraines back in like middle school and high school, and then they just vanished. I didn't get it for 15, 16 years. And then all of a sudden in the last 2 months, I've been stricken with two different migraines, and they are debilitating. Man. And it starts with like a vision impairment thing. Mm-hmm. And it was the one day I wore no sunglasses in the studio with our new bright lights that we have in there. And that night, I got the migraine. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I said, okay, full stop. I'm just going to be glasses guy.
I just figured out this week and I have to have cataract surgery in both my eyes.
Yeah, that's
I'm trying to get this done before training camp.
You're trying to get it done before camp?
Yeah, I'm trying.
That's what you get for going to the doctor, man. If you just avoid the doctor, you don't even know.
My girlfriend Michelle's listening, and she's like, she's so proud of me for like going and. But every time I go to these doctors now, it's costing me like $5,000.
Oh, 100%. I go, it's like, okay, here you go. Here's a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, hundreds of dollars.
Two back-to-back incredible rebuttals from the 817
about
on the
Hawaiian
shirts. When you close your eyes and think of somebody in a Hawaiian shirt, a lot of people are thinking about Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Not fat, high T levels, great mustache.
Yes.
And bad shorts.
817.
We wore bad shorts in the 80s.
Super high up.
Oh,
too
my
short.
Gosh.
Basically have like
it was embarrassing. You need to roll the quarters down there, you know.
Testicles
the shorts were so bad.
It's a bad look.
We did. We had some really bad looks in the 80s.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go ahead and hit our football fix right now.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Him.
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
All right, here is your college football updates. Is Joey McGuire and Texas Tech have taken the podium there at Big 12 Media Days. Probably get on Ari Temkin coming up this week. Hell, maybe we'll get Joey back on the show.
That'd be great. Matter of fact, Jacob Ray.
Yep, Texas
we
work Tech.
For, and Jacob does some work with us over at Crown. I said, hey, let me just send a text to Coach McGuire. And you go up and say hello to him because he's out there at media. He's covering his first media day.
He goes,
do that? And so I just got a text back. He goes, oh, my gosh, I can't tell you how neat that was. Da, 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 da. So nice for Jacob. And Coach McGuire is
nicest
such
dude
a good
ever.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's like, he texts me back. He goes, oh, I really enjoyed meeting your friend. I'm happy he's an alum, you know, this and that and the other. But, yeah, I'm glad that those guys got to hook it up.
Yeah, I guess there were some tense moments between Brett Yormark while there was a Q&A going on. We got to get Ari's out there. I'm sure I'll try and get Ari on the show for us tomorrow or Thursday because I'm fascinated by what's going on with Texas Tech. But Joey McGuire did say that Will Hammond likely in line to start week one for them.
Knee injury with the guy?
ACL.
Yeah.
He said he's likely in line to start week one. And, hey, if he didn't get hurt, he'd have been the starter for us anyway, which I think was kind of alleging, like we might not have been super aggressive to go and get Sorsby. I don't know. That might be a little bit of PR there. But regardless, I do think Will Hammond's super talented, and I'd love to see what he's able to do. All right, here CBS Sports has put out the top 25 players under 25 list. Now, the Cowboys for a while dominated this. They now have just one player on it, and it is indeed George Pickens. He's 18 on the list. George Pickens had long been considered one of the league's most talented young receivers, but his reputation skyrocketed after the Cowboys signed him, traded for him. During his first season in Dallas, we know career highs across the board. Pickens is arguably the best deep ball receiver in the league, as his 52 receptions on deep balls, 20-plus air yards, are the most since he entered the NFL in 2022. The Cowboys placed the tag on Pickens, and if he has another season like he did, he could command top of the market money next season. Now, that leads me to another topic that I saw earlier today, as one executive is saying these salaries have just gotten totally out of hand for wide receivers. And I wonder, do we see the correction coming, fellas, to where the wide receiver market, all of a sudden it's booming, you're getting over $40 million, and maybe it is with George Pickens, and after you get guys like Christian Watson, Alec Pierce, and others just getting crazy, crazy high salaries, do we see a correction with the wide receiver market coming up?
I don't know that I do. I think that there are so many top flight dudes And who was the latest to get theirs? Was it Jackson Smith?
It was Jackson Smith and Jigba.
And what did he do? He reset the market.
Yeah.
So I don't...
But that could be the point. There's so many of these guys. Is it easier to find replacement-level players? And I guess the one AFC executive who was talking with Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was saying, you know, are you looking at JSN? He's amazing, but is he more than twice as valuable as a player like Christian McCaffrey, who's making $19 million a year as a running back? It is kind of wild how just the difference is now at positional value for certain groups and how these salaries are booming. Now, maybe Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs end up like getting closer to that, but it was interesting that at least you have one AFC exec talking about, like, you look back, paying $17 or $18 million a year. Heck, it wasn't long ago Amari Cooper got, what, $20 million a year?
Yeah.
We're like, okay, that's big money. Now it's 41, 42.
Yeah.
Bananas.
It is, but, I mean, good point, the 9-4, like, the salary cap keeps going up.
Sure.
And when you get these top flight guys, it's hard to imagine that they are going to be able to stomach the idea of knowing that they are one of the best receivers in the league. And I mean, is every team, there's not going to be one team that's like, okay, nobody else wants to pay him that, I will, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where it'd be similar to Dak.
It only takes one team every time.
You know, because Dak made the 60, and then it was like nobody else, it was 55, right? No other teams were going up to meet that mark. So I think it would have to be something similar to that, where it's like, okay, JSN makes 40-plus, but the rest of the league's now saying, like, we got to stop this, and it's, we'll give you 35, but we're not going up over that type of deal.
Yeah.
Just to think, like, what other position group have we maybe seen? It just didn't keep going up and up and up, and the league said, like, we got to stop here for a little bit. Mm-hmm. We this is getting too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if players like these quarterbacks, I mean, I guess you get to a point where you're making so much that you're willing to just slot in right, you know, just under that number. The percentage of the salary cap, I think, is the big thing. And it's like, yeah, it's just all about the percentage of the cap.
No, you're right. That's what these agents are arguing for now.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. We need a quarterback salary cap.
I agree with you.
We need a quarterback salary cap separate from the actual salary cap itself. We need one.
Yeah. I think that would help a lot.
Because it's, you know, that's the one to me, you know, and it, for a while there, Dak held the number at 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, how long would it take? 2 years?
I think three.
Two, 3 years?
Yeah, yeah. And then now Mahomes finally.
Here we go. You know, it's going to get to the point where, you know, like, you know, I don't want to hear the excuse anymore. Well, we're paying our quarterback. We're paying our quarterback. I don't want to hear that anymore. That we can't do things because we're paying our quarterback. Just have the quarterback separate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let that be a separate from the, and then that way you can honestly negotiate and build your team the best way, and you're not skimping on players.
Yeah, and it'd be good for the rest of the players.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely, you know, like instead of having like, oh, we got a bunch of bottom of the roster guys that we had to get on 1 year deals for, you know, $600,000. We can go out and get some like legitimate players. We don't have to go cheap. So bring me the quarterback salary cap separate from the actual cap for the other players, the rostered players.
All right, the Cowboys did not have a corner in the top 10 of the execs, coaches, scouts, and coaches.
That's an upset.
I said them all. No, they didn't. It's an upset. I agree. Number one, not a surprise, was Pat Surtain of the Denver Broncos.
Again, the funny thing to look at,
just where the lowest ranking is.
Lowest ranking. Somebody in the NFL thinks Pat Surtain is the fifth best corner in the league.
Yeah, 1-5. Last year he was 1. So back-to-back years, he's holding down the number 1 spot. Then you've got Derek Stingley Jr. with the Texans. Highest ranking was 1. Lowest ranking was 6. Last year he was 2. So your top 2 corners in the league remain the same. Christian Gonzalez, locally from the Colony. New England Patriots, highest ranking 2. Lowest ranking was 10. But last year he was 6, so he jumped up from 6 to number 3. On this list, Devin Witherspoon of the Seahawks comes in at 4. His highest ranking was 3, lowest ranking 9. You got 8 better corners than Devin Witherspoon. That's crazy. But congratulations to him, 10-4 on this jump.
And that's another one of those guys now where you're starting to see the change of the landscape here, because usually it was always just boundary corner, boundary corner, boundary corner. And Witherspoon is a guy that goes inside and out, and that's becoming much more
Very valuable.
Yeah, super valuable.
100%. There it is again. Trent McDuffie, highest ranking 3, now with the Rams, formerly of the Chiefs. Lowest ranking unranked for Trent McDuffie. Last year he was 4, so he drops a spot from 4 to 5. Quinyon Mitchell of the Eagles, highest ranking was 3, lowest ranking unranked, Eric. Last year he was 9. He moved up to 3 this year.
It's so funny that somebody would think Quinyon Mitchell is not a top 10 corner in the NFL.
I know. It's amazing. 7 is Denzel Ward of the Browns. Highest ranking was 2. Lowest ranking was unranked. Last year he was 3. So he's got the biggest fall on this list from 3 to 7. J.C. Horn of the Carolina Panthers comes in at number 8. Our old buddy on the nosebleed. CT was an awesome interview when he was coming out of the draft. Highest ranking 3 on this list. Lowest ranking unranked. He moved from 7 to 8. Sauce.
I love the J.C. Horn physicality.
Yeah.
Like that dude.
He's a gambler and he'll give up, but his size, the competitiveness, absolute toughness.
Willing to stick his nose in it, dude. Like, yeah, go ahead. Send your fullback my way. And I'll collide with him.
Just had a career high 5 picks, tied for first among corners last year. Sauce Gardner slid from 5 to 9 in these rankings. His highest ranking was 5. Lowest was unranked. Then Cooper DeJean of the Eagles. Highest ranking 3. Lowest ranking unranked. He was unranked last year on this list. Honorable mentions, Kamari Laster of the Texans. Joey Porter Jr. of the Steelers, who I think should be in on this. I'd put him over DeJean as a pure corner. Jalen Johnson of the Bears and A.J. Terrell of the Falcons. Deron Bland did receive a vote, though.
What?
So you did get a Cowboys corner getting a vote. Yep, Deron Bland. I guess that exec feels like, hey, Bland's still a good player. He was just banged up and hurt last year. This was the craziest story I read all day per ESPN's Seth Wickersham. Did you see this about Sean Payton?
Yeah. This is pretty cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Wickersham got to be with the Broncos during their playoff run last year and just document everything he saw.
He did dope. But he had an idea that never came to fruition entering the 24 season, in which Bill Belichick would have stepped in as head coach long enough to just surpass Don Shula's NFL record for most wins. So the quote from the article is, when Belichick and the Patriots divorced in 2024, Payton considered presenting Broncos owner Greg Penner a proposal for the ages. Just hire Bill Belichick as head coach until he gets 15 wins, which is enough to break Shula's record of 347. Then Sean Payton would temporarily step down to assistant head coach and run the offense, then move back after Belichick became the all-time leader in the end. It was just too complicated and maybe too fanciful, writes Walder. But that is freaking crazy.
I would have loved to have seen that. It just feels... It feels sort of patronizing for Belichick.
In
like, hey, we're just going to, like, we're going to gift this to you and like, just grant your wish. And
do you think Belichick would take that?
I don't think so. I don't know that
I feel
he
like he's too prideful.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think it would be, like, he'd be. Now, I think as a football fan, to get two of the, like, one of the best defensive minds ever.
Right.
And then off it, like, Sean Payton just being essentially the OC for Bill Belichick.
It would be awesome.
That would be incredible. Like, if you're building a coaching staff, that might kind of be one of the top dream coaching staffs there. But gosh, competitively, I don't know that I've ever heard something quite like that. Like, I'll step aside and I'll let this other guy come in, do my job. I'll be on the staff still, but I want him to get his 15 wins. You know?
Yeah.
It's in such an alpha sport, and these coaches are also alphas, and they can fix all of these players.
Are they super close? Are Payton and Belichick super close?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they must be for Payton to be willing to do something like this. But yes, it's hard to imagine that Belichick would have wanted to.
Crazy.
And it almost feels like there would have been an asterisk on there. Mm-hmm. Like, Don Shula's family would have been like, nah.
That
ain't the real one.
Yeah, you weren't even the real head coach. You had to have Sean Payton go ahead and help you out there. All right, there's our football fix. We'll get more into the football talk coming up on a little bit later in the program. But where are we going next, Eric?
Well, let's do a little NFL here, bold NFL predictions, and let's grade this National Cowboys take.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show during my offseason from the NBA, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. From the makers of Omega XL, a brand trusted by millions. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, as you go through season after season, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
All right, let's hit you a sports hodgepodge here in the G-Bag Nation. We got some funny tweets and some good Cowboys stuff for you here. Segment in the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. And now it is time for this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening
to
you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one exactly. Yeah.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
Krusty's Corner with the Super Bowl champion coming up in about 15 minutes live here in the Comerica backyard of Globe Life Field. I have some funny tweets for you. Let's grade them together. I would like to start with the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, who says this 7 hours ago. The real problem with the U.S. men's national team program is the number of front-running fans who knew zero about the sport a month ago and are proving it today.
Mm-hmm.
That is worse than what the players did last night. The opinions and the takes that people are having around the country right now and around the world.
Look, did they watch the game?
Are the bigger problem than the performance that the players put on the field last night, where you have your goalkeeper kicking the ground instead of the ball and Tim Ream looking like he's never played soccer before a day in his life.
There were a couple of plays where Tim Ream looked like that he, as your captain, it was embarrassing. You know, the first goal I mentioned of the Belgium, he just completely got bodied in the box.
Okay,
you know?
Well, now Christian Pulisic is getting bodied by. Do you guys remember former NFL insider for NFL Network, Jason Lockenfora?
Yes.
CBS, right?
Well, I know he was at the NFL Network.
I don't know what he was doing. And then
now.
CBS, I think he got fired. He was doing like a radio show in D.C., and he used to be the biggest pick tipper in the NFL draft.
Oh, really?
He was like the first person that really made it mainstream.
He is not happy with Christian Pulisic. Listen to this. He tweets out last night, it's been a horse-ass tournament for number 10. All things considered, been maybe the seventh most important contributor over the hall of all their minutes played in total. Better wake his little ass up. Big part of a choking ass dog ass team that couldn't even qualify.
Get hacked. Get hacked.
I kind of love this one because I am so anti-Pulisic right now.
Is that not incredible?
Are you going to feel amazing. Differently if they do an x-ray and he's got a broken bone in his foot?
No. Not really.
You're just going to feel like that he's always hurt. He's not going to help you. Yeah. It's always something with him.
If it had been like he had really been dominating the tournament,
sure,
and like was like great up
like
until
every
yesterday,
other star, then I'd feel we like to compare him to.
Yeah, then I'd feel differently. But like he looked like maybe your fourth best player.
This is true.
Well, Lockenfora doubles down, so he had a night to sleep on it, right? Yeah. Maybe cooler heads prevail. Yeah.
6 hours ago, he tweets out, Christian Pulisic, just focus on your club career and making the most horse-ass, lifeless commercials known to man.
Gosh.
Retire from the U.S. men's national team and program. The team and program are better without you. You took last summer off rather than work with Poch to come back as an even bigger underachiever. Stay in Europe. We good. He is in his bag of hate today, dude. Wow. Lock and Fora might earn a follow from me after all this.
Do you feel like that Lock and Fora might have lost money on this?
Yeah, he's this is like venomous.
Did Price Picks not help him out here?
Even I wouldn't go as far as he's
not helping out.
He's
DraftKings. Somebody who, you know, whoever you know you want to go with. Did he feel like he lost out here because he had U.S. with Pulisic, you know, more than... Something.
Yeah, the harshness of those tweets lead you to believe that there's some level of bank account tie-in.
I think there's something going on with
to
him.
All of this hate.
Yeah.
Now, let's shift gears into the Cowboys here. We do have a clip from Mina Kimes and Derek Klassen, two national football voices. I want to get y'all's thoughts on what they have to say, but I did see a quote from Ryan Clark, who said that he saw CeeDee Lamb a few days ago, and CeeDee's quote to Ryan Clark was this: "I haven't felt this good or this healthy in 2 years."
What do we always say for baseball training camp?
Best shape of your life season.
This is best shape of your life season.
This is the healthiest he's been in 2 years, says CeeDee Lamb. Hopefully he can stay on the field for all 17 games.
Yeah.
That would go a long way for us. Now, here is Mina Kimes and Derek Klassen. Klassen's with The Athletic. He hopped on Mina Kimes' show, and they're talking about this Christian Parker Cowboys defense. Let me know if anything jumps out to you here.
I think the Fangio defenses, an underrated part of why they work, is at their best, the linebackers are often like incredible and really good in coverage.
Everything I've read about this defense this summer suggests it's going to be closer to Philadelphia than anything else. I think your point about the linebackers is well taken. It is concerning. We're both talking about the same thing, which is, can they compensate for the one weakness?
It feels like they've fixed a lot of holes, right? Like they've plugged a lot of issues. But I think to your point, other than maybe Quinn and Williams, or if Caleb Downs is this right out of the box, which I think is a lot to put on a rookie safety, I don't know who you say we're building the defense around this.
Okay, when you think about Christian Parker coming from Big Fangio, and you think about the way it sounds like they're going to use Downs, which is kind of primarily a nickel, it's a very modern thing right now, right? Is like, if you have a nickel who's like a dog against the run, who you also trust to defend tight ends and slot receivers, can play the current meta, which is you can stop offenses from a split safety structure with light boxes, limiting your sub packages, even if they put an extra tight end on the field, etc. Those offenses or defenses have very good linebackers. When I look at this and I ask, what would it take for this defense to get closer to those? If you dropped in a Jordan Brooks or a really great linebacker, it's just missing that one player.
Okay, so overall, I think Broaddus is, he's putting the stamp of approval on that when it comes to the linebackers and needing something there. And I know we're still holding out hope that maybe a veteran will get picked up here. I think the Jordan Brooks stuff is kind of like,
I know that sucks.
Maybe at the trade deadline. I think there's a lot of things. Crosby,
we
Brooks
can't wait
at the
till
deadline.
The trade deadline. We
but
can't, we can't.
I get that. I get
we
that.
Can't wait and for a linebacker at the trade deadline.
The
we
linebacker do, stuff is problematic
need,
right now.
We do not need, you know, Brian Schottenheimer after the Tampa game talking about the defense and this, that. I think there's other things that could hold this defense back. But what we're learning about this defense, and we haven't seen it in our backyard. We've seen it in other backyards. But what we're learning about this defense is he's interested in playing run defense with five guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's interested in.
Light box, stop the run.
Yeah, and you know what? That to me is, and I think Mina's on to something here. When you think about this defense, you think about great linebackers, because the responsibility of the guys up front is to hold blocks, to make sure that those Lane Johnsons and those guys don't get up on linebackers. That's the whole premise of this defense. So if he's going to play, if this defense is bad, I think it's going to happen. It could happen in two areas. Number one is the players aren't smart enough to understand the scheme. I mean, I'm saying that in a way that, like, he's playing, you know, they always talk about playing chess and checkers and stuff, that all of a sudden these players are not taking things from the classroom to the practice field to the game field. If all of a sudden it's like, you know, Brian Schottenheimer comes out week five, we've got to scale back. We've got to scale back our defense.
We got to simplify.
The minute you hear that, mark my words, your defense is dead. Because that's what he's telling you, is that this defense that we currently have, the players. Now they've added a lot of players. They've added some guys that are pretty cerebral guys, you know. But if all of a sudden we see them struggle with that, learning the defense and applying it in games, that's a problem. The second thing is, if we start to see down linemen up on linebackers, and those guys, 100%. A smaller Winters,
overshown.
If those guys are fighting blocks all day,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble on this defense.
But that shouldn't happen with Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark, and with Gary and with Esaraku. Those are guys that all hold the point of attack extremely
well. They should be good there.
If that doesn't work, then everything else is toast, because it's built on that.
And you've got the guys.
You've invested in Williams and Clark in a way that tells you that's kind of where we're starting here. And my one disagreement with what Klassen was saying there, it's like, who are they building the defense around? Yeah, Quinnen Williams?
Yeah.
Or what are we doing here?
Like, I think
Quinnen Williams and Caleb Downs, those are two incredible foundational pieces to build a defense around.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
There's been some Quinnen Williams disrespect this offseason. It's like we've forgotten how damn good he is.
Yeah.
And I'll give some pushback a little bit on this. I think the Eagles did a great job in 24 when they won the Super Bowl. Their linebacking core wasn't very good. Zach Bond has a breakout all-pro. Like, nobody thought Zach Bond was good going into the season.
No, but he was good.
He did, yeah, right.
He was.
But that's kind of where we are now with the Cowboys.
Right, like maybe one of these guys can have a great season.
Like,
sure.
Dean couldn't stay healthy, and he was in and out that year. They had to play a lot of Owen Burks. Does anybody know who the hell Owen Burks is?
Heard the name.
So they found ways.
But they had an all-pro linebacker playing next to him.
Yes, they did, but he wasn't coming in.
Yeah.
He turned into an all-pro player that year in the defense. Like, is D. Winters or Demovrian Overshone or a Barham or a Shamar James? Like, do they have anyone to step up?
You know what we need to do, Wolchuk, and Eric, if you want to? We need to sit down and look at the Eagles' defense and see how many times defensive linemen, Carter, Davis, whoever was playing inside, were holding up blocks.
I'd love to do that.
We want to see how many times and we have the ability to say, give me all the runs.
Yeah.
Give me all the Philadelphia defense's runs. And I need to count how many times you saw linebackers getting to the ball, making tackles, because Davis and those guys were holding up blocks. Carter, Davis, that's what we need to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, if we're watching this and like, oh, damn, that Bond got off that block.
Yeah.
Oh, he got off that block again. Oh, wow, he got off that block. If they're not holding up guys at all, then this thing might be in trouble when you start to talk about with Winters and Overshone and stuff like that. In a way of these guys, wait a minute, the scheme isn't holding up guys here. You know, I need to sit down and look at Philadelphia's defense and just see, like, when they got gashed, what happened? What happened on the play that got them gashed on the defense?
Mm-hmm.
Did Davis get turned and all of a sudden there was a guy up on Bond in the line and Dean and those guys were fighting blocks? You know, or was the scheme played well? That's what we need to see. Really, because we're going in this thinking that they're going to play the run.
Right.
Like I say, with five guys. I mean, that's even if you get in a heavy personnel group against Dallas and they want to play the thing against five guys or with five guys, boy, that's pretty ballsy stuff to do.
Yeah.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation live at Globe Life Field, getting ready for Rangers and Halos here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's take a look at this defense, and do we need to carry this position more than others?
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show during my offseason from the NBA, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. From the makers of Omega XL, a brand trusted by millions. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, as you go through season after season. And recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We are going to do a little mixed bag coming up on the other side. Nil-nil, we're scoreless. Switzerland and Colombia, that game in Vancouver, Canada. In the round of 16, winner goes on to take face Argentina, who came back to win 3-2 over Egypt earlier today. But right now, without further ado, let's go ahead. Here he is, King of the Crusties, Brian.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Shout out to Hurtado Barbecue, also, for sponsoring the Raiders. And yesterday, happy birthday to Brandon Hurtado.
Yeah.
As we're out here at the Comerica Backyard, make sure you're getting yourself some delicious Hurtado barbecue.
Hurtado and then a Reliant, I think, as well.
Reliant AC.
Both those guys are involved in. I really do appreciate them for being a part of this one. And again, thank you to Lucius for always playing that intro for me as well. Hey, guys, I just, like, during the break, I was watching Jacob DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
Play like he's playing long toss. I guess they call it stretching out, you know, where they stand. He's probably 40 yards away from the catcher. He's winding up and throwing the ball, and it's ending up like waist high. Like the catcher doesn't even have to move.
Wow.
I mean, he's just 40
a star.
He's just throwing the ball. He just takes his wind up and just, and then the ball just, the catcher doesn't even move. So I was sitting there like going, God, it's pretty well. I guess that's why he's making, you know, $30 million a year, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
He could throw a baseball waist high from about 40 yards away.
Could throw a baseball over the mountains.
On the mountains. Pretty good, though. I'm excited about our little project, Woolchuck.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I'm excited. I'm going to just, you know, let's see how many of these games. Just watch all the Eagles run defensive snaps and figure out how much their defensive tackles really play in keeping these linebackers. Are these linebackers just so good that they're just flowing mm-hmm. to the ball and getting there before the offense has even a chance to react? I asked this question this morning. I was on. By the way, we have a Love of the Star.
Yes, we do.
We have a Love of the Star. Zach and I did a Love of the Star this morning, so make sure you get that on your Odyssey podcast.
Heard you guys were dominating that one.
Well, Zach got me fired up.
Crushed it. Yeah, Brian had a tremendous episode.
He got me fired up. Zach goes, "This might be the best one you've ever done."
He did. Brian was spitting some hot fire.
He's blowing smoke up your tail.
No,
you get Brian talking about Malik Hooker. He's just dropping knowledge bombs.
Yeah,
like Lucius would have been firing off the K bomb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. It's just go give it a listen.
Did you S on him the same way Lock and Fora S'd on Pulisic?
Not really.
It was much nicer.
I was much nicer. That's much nicer. All right, I asked this question to Vach Lombardi this morning because we were doing our little work together. And Vach came around and said, you know what, I think I might consider this. And I'll ask you, gents. Would you guys consider keeping on the active roster 11 defensive backs on the final 53? Would you consider keeping 11 defensive backs?
You know what? I would. And I think it's because I think a lot of those safeties can kind of give you some linebacker aspects if you need them to.
Okay.
Like Downs has a lot of versatility. I think Jalen Thompson's shown you he can be versatile, even mm-hmm. give you a little bit of slot. Mm-hmm. I think Malik Hooker is a down-in-the-box player at this point in his career. And Bell has played linebacker. So if you're keeping Marquise Bell on the squad, P.J. Locke's a physical guy. But, yeah, I think it would want to – like the safeties give me enough versatility to where I could warrant that, because I would maybe like to go long at corner because I think that you're going to need –
the depth. We saw, we've seen the last several years, like these corners can't stay healthy for whatever reason.
Okay, keep that thought. How about you there, Chieftain? Would you consider keeping 11?
Where are you cutting short? Is it the offense?
We went short yesterday. We went 23. We went short yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, especially because those guys, I think a lot of those guys will be able to be plus players on special teams for you as well. Mm. And so that to me is a big aspect. And then the versatility factor as well, where you have guys that can, oh, I can play a little safety, I can play a little linebacker, a little nickel, whatever it is. So, I mean, I could get on board with that for sure.
All right. This is why Vaachi would keep 11.
Yep.
Tell me what these guys have in common. Bland. How about him? How about Revelle?
Injuries.
Yeah, hurt guys.
How about Moore?
Injuries.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
Botch thinks you might have to carry 11 defensive backs just to make up for the fact that you're going into the season with so many guys that have questions about their injury history.
100%. And last year, I mean, they're picking up Triquez Bridges, Ballantyne. You know, these guys that were seventh-round picks, practice squads on other teams that weren't NFL players.
These are 11 guys on a game-day roster.
This is the 11. I mean, you're going to have to go with some inactive. I mean, they're going to be some inactive guys.
Right, okay.
But what he's saying is that the fact that you have so many guys that have injury questions going into the season that you have to protect yourself.
Yeah, you got to have the insurance for sure for all those guys that you just mentioned. And even Jalen Thompson as a guy who's dealing with a pec issue and he can't even participate in the minicamp stuff. And he's a guy that's been banged up. And we all love the signing of Jalen Thompson. I'm excited about him.
Sure.
But he's a guy who's missed some time.
See, once you think about it that way, because majority of these corners, with the exception of like Durant, I mean, they're dealing with some kind of, but him, Stewart, they're kind of, these guys are all banged up. I mean, they haven't proven, you know, we're going into a season where can they stay healthy? If they stay healthy, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll be beautiful. But really, to kind of protect yourself, you might have to go like one more at defensive back than maybe you would normally go. Usually, like, think, you know, six corners, four safeties. But in this case, you might have to go with the six corners. The way I had it, I went six and four.
Okay.
But the thought of maybe having one more, and I don't, on my list, I don't have Hooker.
You have Hooker not making the team?
I'm thinking about this. If you ask me to play the safeties, I'm playing Thompson, I'm playing Downs, I'm playing Locke, and I'm playing Bell.
You like Bell more than Hooker?
I just feel like, to me, and Zach mentioned it, he's got the flexibility to play down if you want to. Now, the thing about him...
Doesn't Hooker? I feel like Hooker has been good at making tackles in the box.
He's become a downhill type of player, yeah.
I just don't trust him. I just don't trust... And I said it this morning on Love of the Star.
Yeah.
My argument is, and this was kind of directed at Bobby Belt... For, you know, Bobby's like, oh, you guys are underrating Hooker, you know. And I know Bobby's probably listening. But, Bobby, the Cowboys showed you what they think of the safety room. They showed you that. They showed you with the guys they signed in free agency, the money they spent on Thompson, going out and getting
Locke.
Mm-hmm. They went and they took their first-round pick and picked a safety is what they did. They told you what they think. They got rid of Wilson, and they moved on from guys. Hooker just happened to stay, but they told you, not me, or you, Eric, or Zach, or whoever. It's not us saying it. They told you what they think of their safety room.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So to me, if it's and I could see him, and you just said that, well, why, he's not going to make the team? Oh, really?
Do you think Christian Parker elevates what Malik Hooker is? Like, Hooker is one thing in an Eberflus defense. All of a sudden, Hooker with Parker.
Now, we've seen Hooker in a couple of defenses, right?
Yeah, Quinn, Zimmer, and Flus now.
Yeah, and he's just okay. I don't want to sit here and, like,
I'm just, saying, though, to me, I just look at the way that Dallas did this. The way they did this and the way they approached this.
They already told you how they feel.
How they feel.
Yeah.
It's not me making up stuff trying to be haterade.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Christian Parker gets through a training camp in preseason and feels like Malik Hooker's not worth having on the team, I'll take his word for it and trust that he knows what he's doing.
But would you consider? But we would consider keeping 11.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of the health of the corners.
Brian, the other guy to kind of keep an eye on is Elijah Clark.
That's what I would. I would rather have
money to him.
That's what I'm saying. Elijah Clark is a guy that I would play in.
And he had maybe the special teams play of the year last year.
I still put my hand up for Zion Childress, man.
Yeah, Zion Childress is your fourth nickel player right now, behind Darion Kendrick, which is kind of bizarre. I don't think of him as a nickel. And that's just on our lads, like their depth chart.
Sure.
But Kendrick is at nickel corner. It's kind of weird to me. Yeah.
Well, there it is, man.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, man, check it out.
I'm ready for it. I think that means that other players have stepped up.
And we're
going to
do this Philadelphia study. We're going to have in the next couple of days, we're going to have a study about Philadelphia and how their defensive tackles help their linebackers. If they do, is it a myth or not a myth?
100%. All right, let's do a little mixed bag, shall we? Let's get back into the U.S., and they're getting called out by some greats, and let's build the ultimate college football roster ahead of the season. Let's have some fun. A mixed bag next in the G-Bag Nation.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show during my offseason from the NBA, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. From the makers of Omega XL, a brand trusted by millions, Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years as you go through season after season, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.